You're listening to Community Radio, CKMS Radio Waterloo, 102.7, 946 on the Rogers Digital Network.
Good morning, Waterloo Region. You're listening to CKMS Community Connections. My name is Bob Jonkman. It is Monday, December the 28th, the week of Christmas past. You're going to hear a report from the Festival of Neighborhoods held on the 16th of November. Allison Brown brings that to us in a few minutes. We're listening to Christo and Kingfish Ingram, the Ghost from Christmas Past, some real Mississippi Delta blues.
We met in December, and I thought it would last. We had that holiday feeling, and I thought it was gonna last. Now my new lost love, she's the ghost from Christmas past. On this cold winter's night, believe I let my good time last. On this bitter silent night, and play one for my baby. She's the ghost from Christmas past. Singing carols down in the park, and all I got for Christmas is a spirit in the dark. My heart is sinking low while the snow is falling fast. And I'm crying frozen teardrops for the ghost from Christmas past. And I'm crying frozen teardrops for the ghost of Christmas past.
Happy holidays. That's Kingfish Ingram, Christone Kingfish Ingram. His first ever holiday song, the original Ghost from Christmas Past. The track was written by Tom Hanbridge and Richard Fleming, recorded in Nashville at the famed Oceanway Studio. It tells a story of a timeless tale of love gone wrong. The song features Kingfish playing some of the most emotionally blistering guitar he has yet recorded and singing with pleading, soulful urgency, or so says the bio information that came with the record. Next, we have Allison Brown, the celebration planner and multimedia specialist from the Festival of Neighborhoods in Kitchener. Festival of Neighborhoods was held online this year through a Zoom meeting, which made it ideal for recording and bringing to you an audio report. Allison brings you the Neighborhood Exchange program and feedback from the discussions. Here's Allison.
Kitchener's Festival of Neighborhoods concluded its 27th season by connecting neighbors differently for its annual celebration in 2020. This year, neighbors and City of Kitchener representatives zoomed together in an interactive online mosaic of neighborhoods celebration that recognized how neighborhoods created community connections with health and safety in mind through an unpredictable year. Neighbors discussed ways to continue creating connections and imagined what their neighborhoods will be like as we move into a future of possibility. My name is Allison Brown, Celebration Planner and Multimedia Specialist with Kitchener's Festival of Neighborhoods 2020, and I'll be sharing highlights from our online celebration. The Mosaic of Neighborhoods celebration took place online on November 15th and was hosted by MC Bill Bean.
My name's Bill Bean. I've been involved with the Festival of Neighborhoods for a long time. I was formerly an editor and a writer at the Waterloo Region Record, and wrote often about community issues and a community volunteer in my own neighborhood. So community is important to me. This community is important to me. And a very special welcome to those members of council, the mayor and councilors for the City of Kitchener, as well as Festival of Neighborhood partners, Alexandra Petrovic from the Social Development Center of Waterloo Region, and John McDonald from the firm of John McDonald Architect.
It was a very different year, but then again, there are so many same familiar faces, and it really gives me comfort. Thank you all, and so good to see you.
And thanks to everyone who has worked so hard over the course of what we're facing and what we're dealing with to continue to take the opportunity to bring neighbors together. Our traditional annual celebration is really one of thanks and giving thanks to people in the community who do bring their neighborhood together and their neighbors together. And once again this year, we've had a period of the season where we haven't been able to do that to the same extent. And yet people have got together in these amazingly creative ways. And today's an opportunity to learn from each other and learn about that a bit more and potentially learn about how we're going to continue to create neighborhood and community in the upcoming year. So thanks kindly, everyone.
The celebration began with neighbors sharing experiences from a neighbors exchange program where pairs of residents from different neighborhoods took each other on tours of their respective areas. You'll hear from myself, Allison Brown, Andrina Lockley Brown, Peggy Nichols and McCool Verma, and Heather McQuaig and Bill Pegg.
So we're going to bring in Allison and Andrina, who participated in something we thought we'd try out this year, a neighbors exchange program where two neighbors from different areas of the city took each other on short walking tours of their respective neighborhoods. So it's a chance to see something outside of your own neighborhood. We walk around our own neighborhoods often, but we may not get into other neighborhoods. We may not know some of the history about them. So I'm going to flip this over to Allison, and she's going to talk about this for a bit.
Yeah, me and Andrina, we just met, and I'm really new to the city. I just moved here in July, and it's been a really great thing to work on Festival of Neighborhoods because I really have never been to a lot of these neighborhoods that I've had a chance to visit in the last month or so. So Andrina took me on a tour of Forest Heights. We'll talk about Cedar Hill first. So how was your visit with me in Cedar Hill, where I live now? So
It was great. I thought the idea, the concept was wonderful because even before COVID, I have a habit, I'm sure most of you can, it's probably the same for you as well. You can probably relate, but I go back and forth to work, and I have a few community centers I go to where my kids are doing swimming lessons and activities in different places. And then there's just places I never go. I go to the same places all the time. And then since COVID hit, I'm in my own neighborhood all the time. I stay at home and I go for walks around my hood. So I was pretty excited to go check out another hood. It was pretty interesting because I went to Cedar Hill and I used to live in Cedar Hill, but that made it more nostalgic and fun to go on a tour of my old neighborhood. And because Allison was new to that neighborhood, we had the opportunity to actually knock on doors of friends and neighbors that I used to have to introduce her to some folks on her street, actually, just down the street from her.
But no, we had a really great day, and it was cool to get the tour from you, Andrina. There you are, up on Kaufman Park Hill there. And here's something different. I took a couple pictures not during our trip, is that over on Evie Street, there's almost a whole block of houses behind the regular block, and there's some stuff that's going to get torn down pretty soon, probably some more condos. Now, here we are in Forest Heights that I have never been to before. We went on your little trail. There's some lovely fall colors going on. You guys are very close to the highway, so I took a picture of that. Our day out in Forest Heights was a little bit more rainy, but we still had a good time.
And part of the reason why we chose the neighborhood we live in when we were looking to move from Cedar Hill was because of all of the trails and trees in our neighborhood. So I had the chance to give Allison a tour of the walking trails that I go on with my family.
A couple of other people that got a chance to do the same thing. So I think we're going to move over to McCool and Peggy, who went to Victoria Park and Dune South.
Okay, so yeah, so I'm in Dune South and Peggy's in Victoria Park. And yeah, it was very interesting because to me, Victoria Park was more of like a destination as one of the parks you go to in the city. And I've been there, but I never looked at it. That's actually someone's neighborhood. Right. So so that was kind of interesting to me. And I think my perspective before going there was that they're probably working on a lot more established projects, being one of the, if not oldest neighborhood in the city that they'd be working on. But I learned a lot more. There was a lot more diversity, a lot of condos coming up, a lot of different things that they're dealing with, more traffic on the trails and stuff, just with COVID and everything. Like that's right in their neighborhood. So I thought it was quite interesting to see all the diversity. It's also interesting to see that we're dealing with a lot of new development here, but they actually are dealing with a lot of new development there as well, even though it's a very established neighborhood.
Yeah, so one of the things that was interesting to me was in Muckle's Dune South neighborhood, our tour was mostly a car tour because there's about 20,000 people living in a pretty large geographical area of mainly single homes. And whereas in Victoria Park, we're a much smaller neighborhood of, I don't know, but much smaller. And we have about 4,000 people living in our area. And, you know, a lot of those people are living in condos and apartment buildings and townhouses, as well as single family homes. Yeah, so that was one contrast, was the driving versus the walking and the old versus the new. In Mukul's neighborhood, most people are new to the neighborhood, whereas as he said, Victoria tends to be a much more established neighborhood. Yeah, so that was, and so in our tour, I showed him we walked along the Iron Horse Trail and saw the community garden and the new food forest that's going to be established, and then we walked around the perimeter of the park and looked at different types of housing and could see the apartment buildings going up, you know, just on the edge of the park. We also saw the reception center, which overlooks the pond, and Joseph Schneider House, and then one of the original homes. We actually met one of my 85-year-old neighbors who lives in the home that his 106-year-old mom lived in. So it's one of the most established homes in the neighborhood.
Okay. We joke because where I am 5 years ago was a field, and even like 20 years ago, this whole thing was just fields, right? So when you see something like Victoria Park, which is like 100 years old, it's a very different area than here. The other thing that we noticed as well was that where we are, we're in a very, I think one thing I realized is we're in a very small demographics. People here are in a very similar position. Where it is, no matter how you slice it, we may think we're diverse, but we're still part of a certain a lot of similarities, where when it comes to Peggy's area, you've got people who are doing from affordable housing to like $500,000 condos, right? So it's very diverse, right? Where here, everyone's just in houses, right? So that was one of the very interesting parts as well, I guess we think we're diverse, and we are, but we're all still within a certain part of the spectrum.
Yeah, and one of the things that amazed me about Mukul's neighborhood is, like, he talked about 1,000 people coming out to some of their activities, and I'm thinking, 1,000 people? Oh, my gosh. But I guess, you know, in a neighborhood where everybody is trying to get to know each other, it's, you know, people want those kinds of meet-and-greet opportunities to get to know their neighbors and for their kids to be able to play. And the other thing that was really surprising to me is our neighborhood association is, you know, it has a board and we have annual general meetings and regular monthly meetings and minutes and things like that. Whereas Muckle's Dune South neighborhood has organized itself around Facebook and up until now hasn't really seen a need or really don't want to become necessarily a formal neighborhood association because, you know, that approach is working well.
And one interesting point that you brought up was the fact on how we're doing it is that, like, I was an admin on the group for 3 years. As of earlier this year, I was I kind of left my time of being an admin, but it's not around one person or two people. It is, there is still a core group of volunteers, a core group of people that do that. But in Dune South here, it kind of is more self-sufficient. The people who are actually doing it keep on changing it and still keeps on running, which is kind of cool, even though it's not a structured neighborhood association.
And I guess the other thing that I already knew about my neighborhood, because it's one of the reasons that I chose to live there, but it was really reinforced by this tour, was how walkable our neighborhood is. And how in Dune, if you want to go to the store, or the library, or the community center, all those things you need to get in your car or on your bike, maybe, right? More people will probably use bikes because the streets are really wide.
Heather was another one of our neighborhood exchangers. So how was your visit? Because he's from downtown and you are in Topper Woods.
Yeah, which is really part of Dune South. So just like we back on to Topper Woods. So that's part of our community there. But I will say the visit to downtown was fascinating. Bill is a wealth of information. We talked for hours. We walked and walked and walked. And similarly to the early discussion, like, you just realize that you can walk anywhere. You can walk a few minutes and be in green space. You can be at a restaurant. You can be at a library. Like, there's just so many opportunities in the downtown core. And Bill had a lot of history, a lot of stories. And we walked through the neighborhoods as they transitioned. And so it was real. I learned so much. It was really a lot of fun. It's just really fascinating to be in the downtown core.
Mm-hmm. That's fabulous, Heather. I love downtown. I'm a downtowner myself. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I found it really cool to go visit up in the suburbs as well.
I mean, I love the suburbs too, but it was just a notable difference, right? Just being in the downtown area. The other thing that stood out to me, really gorgeous buildings, a train right through the center of the city. The neighbors had done beautiful artwork to cover up an area that's being redeveloped.
It was excellent. We had, Heather and I went on a very long walk through the neighborhood and through the trails and through the Topper Woods. Heather gave me a good short history on the neighborhood and the various phases that it has gone through from the very first up until the one that's just under construction right now. She also went on at length about efforts in her immediate neighborhood to get all the neighbors involved in various projects. And then, of course, culminating in the big prize, not just once, but 2 years in a row from the city. And so, yeah, it was great. And of course, it didn't hurt at all that it was a magnificent day. It was over 20 degrees and we're walking along in our shirt sleeves and it was really good. And then Heather followed me back downtown and I gave her the grand circle of the downtown area.
This idea of a neighborhood exchange is a great one. Right now we do walking tours. We do the Jane's walks. So we walk in different areas of the city. They're guided tours, curated tours, if you will. Why aren't we mm-hmm. thinking about curated tours, not just at Jane's Walk time, but anytime?
You're listening to Highlights from Festival of Neighborhoods 2020, a mosaic of neighborhoods. All of the online participants were then divided into smaller breakout rooms to discuss a series of questions. Breakout room hosts reported back after 30 minutes of discussion. You'll hear from Rick Guzik, Kelly Galloway-Sealock, Barbara Hankins, and Mike Morris, with thoughts from John McDonald and Mark Hildebrand.
So this is the part where we're going to break up into the breakout rooms, correct? And the three questions were, how did your neighborhood create connections this year? What would you need to continue these connections in an unpredictable future? And what ideas do you have for the future of your neighborhood? And it was a very difficult and interesting year. I know for a lot of communities, there were a lot of community events that had to be reimagined or completely set aside, with everyone pretty much saying next year will be better. Well, we're hoping next year is going to be better, yes. But for those people who we're going to talk about some of the other events that did go on this year. But at this time, breaking up into the breakout rooms and talking about how we keep connections going forward.
Well, welcome back, everybody.
I see we're coming in. So is that it? Everyone's back? All right. Did you all have fun in your sessions? Lots of interesting discussions. We want to hear what you had to say.
So, Rick, do you want to share yours first? What happened in your meeting?
Okay. We did a tour of everybody's introductions, which was primarily there was a mix of informal and formal associations that we had for neighborhood centers. One of the big challenges, of course, with that is that you couldn't physically meet. So people were still going to things like sort of campfire outings, driveway meetings, some informal get-togethers as best they could. But there was some attention to neighborhood garden initiatives. The Schneider Porch Party was something that came out as an example of the show must still go on with some music. There was some talk about pop-up festivals downtown with some projects that were actually being coordinated with other neighborhood associations in the BIA. So we were hearing a lot about how people kind of link things together in that respect. Repurposing areas in particular for what might have been open space, putting in picnic tables, etc. In terms of repurposing the space were ideas that had come up. As an ongoing kind of thing, we were looking ahead to the winter as well in terms of challenges, which obviously could be a problem. But we were coming up with things like the walking tours, just keep the walking tours going, let other people know in other neighborhoods that the walking tours are going, if they're formal or informal. Some of the tour Christmas lights, just get in the car and going back to something there. In terms of Christmas lights, there were some last minute entries that we had for the snow sculpture reviews and possible things in the neighborhoods where we, I don't know, call it a competition or call it a display or what have you, in areas where people could go on, possibly repurposing municipal golf courses or areas of the golf courses for example, Rockway had come up, cross-country skiing, tobogganing, if there were areas that could be opened in the winter for some of the municipal golf course areas. I think I kind of covered off the main objectives there.
That was pretty good, Rick. There's a lot of stuff there. You had a busy group, didn't you?
Yeah, we sure did. We sure did.
For the time that you had to work with.
Let's move over to Kelly and your group. Tell us what happened.
So for our question number one, there was a lot that really happened within the neighborhoods that we had in our group. There was a sugar festival, which is full of art installations on front yards. If you didn't have an art installation on your own yard, you could be a host house. And then it all came together with the community at a bonfire at the park at the end of the day. That was in March. Then in the summer, there was a front garden walking tours where the neighbors could put their house on a map and you walked around on your own time and talked with your neighbors about what's going on with their garden in the front of the house. There was also sidewalk chalk and lots of social media activity. And that was all just from Central Frederick. So that neighborhood was very active. Also with King East, there was a violinist from the symphony who played and had a community gathering. And they also had one of the slow street programs that the city put on. And that was a really good way for the community to connect. It really opened up the streets for biking, walking, and conversations that definitely increased. Then we moved on to Cherry Park, where they had a winter festival. They also had advocated for the community gardens to all open up. So there was community gardens. They did a lot of pot banging for the frontline workers. They also did a program, which I think was also in Victoria Park and also Williamsburg did as well, with the pictures in the windows where it was advertised on social media. If you want, it was like a scavenger hunt for kids, where you put pictures in your windows and the kids walked around the community and found those pictures. And also their chalkboard, where they recognized local heroes and did a lot of advertising. Victoria Park, I already mentioned a couple of the ones they did. They also did some playing of the instruments. They sang happy birthday to their neighbors when they knew about it. And they also did a program, or there was a program, that there was painted rocks with lovely messages on throughout the various areas within their community. So the number two question, both ones that came up were needing support from the city. One was with the Slow Streets program to make sure we continue to utilize that program so that the communities can connect. And also it was suggested to continue the connections with the community, the Zoom licenses from the city, so that neighborhood associations and others have the ability to connect within the community if they wanted to do so that way. And then I will just continue with number three, the ideas for the future of your neighborhood. A lot of our talk around that was needing more community spaces in some of these areas. So whether it be a park or dog runs or community spaces like community centers, as a lot of the areas that were in our group were downtown groups. And so they need, as the downtown continues to grow, they need more parks and more community space, green space, dog runs, just places for community.
Thank you so much, Kelly and Peggy. So I think we're going to move over to Andrina. You are next. What happened in your group?
And 30 minutes sounded like a long time until we got to talking. But how did your neighborhood create connections this year? We talked about a lot of the things that other folks have talked about as well. Utilizing Zoom and Facebook, people having driveway visits, organizing park cleanups, getting outside and walking and just saying hello to people, making a point of saying hello to people, connecting through pets, lots of people getting pets during COVID since they're at home and it's an excuse to get outside when you have a pet. We also talked about the signage and the sidewalk chalk, the messages, the positive messaging and painted rocks and things, and having creative activities in my neighborhood, specifically revolving around our children's activities and making sure that we're doing safe activities outside and keeping people apart. The next one was what you need to continue these connections. And we said, continue to say hi to others, say it first, go for a walk and talk to people. And check in with your neighbors that you're not already connected with and asking people what they need. Communicating opportunities that are available in the hood. Like, for example, the city's Love My Hood grant. Do people know about it? And do they know what's available? So reaching out to new neighbors when people move into your neighborhood. And staying outside when winter comes. So, we've been outside all in the good weather, but it's going to get colder. It's going to snow and we need to buy snow pants and buy snowshoes and get outside and make sure that we're still walking. And the idea of these walking tours and taking tours of different neighborhoods came up again as well. And then finally, and we did not have very much time for this last one because I didn't budget our time very well, but what ideas do you have for the future of your neighborhood? And we talked about having annual events, things that the neighborhood can look forward to that you do every year. And some people in our group are already doing that, making sure that they're inclusive of all ages as well. And everybody in your neighborhood, you might be connected to people on your street that also have young children, but how do you reach out to the folks that don't have young kids or that you might not otherwise connect with? If you're a dog owner and they're a dog owner, you might chat, but if not, how do you connect with those people and make sure that they're included in activities and more outdoor events, perhaps creating more rinks or things outside that you can utilize all winter. And it might be the case that you need to start a group or a committee if you don't already have one in your neighborhood, coordinating activities like caroling. And I think that's such a great idea to donate, collect money and donate to a local charity. You might have to actually be the one that starts the committee or the group if it doesn't already exist.
We're moving on to the next group now, Allison.
Yeah, I think we're going to move over to Barbara.
Since you've heard from a number of the groups already, there's a lot that was the same. In fact, people from similar communities that we heard these lovely stories about the birthday singing troupe and things like that. So one thing that really came out was having the importance of having safe places to be able to gather outside. You know, so community green spaces came as such an important investment in our community. And I don't think we can stress how important that is. The other things that came out is that it's the small efforts of individuals that can make a big difference. So yes, we do need our community associations to be able to organize functions, but what was recognized was the individual small efforts that people were making with, you know, chalk drawings and helping neighbors who needed help and thinking of creative ways of bringing people together. That's what's going to get us through the winter, which is obviously going to be really a difficult time for everybody. And how do we do more of those small things was the question. Maybe even just hearing from other people like we've done today, and people say, oh, I could get a group out caroling. And, you know, I could send word out a little note in my neighbor's boxes and do that. So this kind of sharing is really helpful, I think, for people who want to make sure that we come out the other end intact. There was some concrete ideas that Christine and Wuka were talking about, a drop-off toy drive that I'm hoping that they will be sharing some of the ideas, how we can carry on traditions that have been in the past that are going to be really awkward to do when we can't gather somewhere. So perhaps there'll be a future document that will have some of that information. The important thing about gathering your community around you when you've got ideas like what Alicia has for the new community gardens, and how much preparation is needed just to get people on board. And that's a good thing to be working on in the wintertime, giving people an opportunity to be part of the planning procedures. So I'd like to commend our city for the slow streets that help people to be able to be out in their community in a safe way. And also for the biking grid that's happening in Kitchener is a fabulous idea to get people outside and getting to know their neighbors and community in a safe way. The more of that we can do. Everybody gets healthier when we're walking outside and not getting in our cars. So I think we can encourage that.
Lots of great stuff going on. So I think we're going to move over to Mike Morris and his group.
So we had John McDonald in our group. And so I thought, John, do you want to start off?
Sure, Mike. Very similar ideas about what has happened in neighborhoods over the course of kind of this period. One interesting piece, I think, certainly came from Colleen around the walking school bus. She's the coordinator across the region of the walking school bus program. And so she might like to talk just briefly about that to the larger group. It occurred to me that even if you're not going to school, maybe having the walking school bus, you know, walking your neighborhood could be a way that the kids get the point, you know, they move from being at home to being at school, even though they're just sort of returning home. Just a thought that occurred to me on that. And Mike, you talked about Cherry Park. Mark Hildebrand talked about what was happening in and around Pioneer Park where he is. I think the incidence of people meeting one another in the streets casually and sequentially, I think we've all talked about that. And Mark, you know, certainly talked about where he's walking in the neighborhood. You're seeing that, right?
I thought there was a nice idea that Mark brought up. Some folks that might be more isolated in his part of the city, or I'm not sure if this was citywide, but the idea of making phone calls, particularly as we head into the winter time and a lot of folks are experiencing more isolation, and maybe, you know, getting outside might get increasingly difficult on a day like we're in right now, that our neighborhood associations might think about using phone lists to just call to check in on how someone might be doing. And that might go a long way. And what a simple, like, doesn't take any money. I thought that was a really simple idea. I'm not sure, Mark, if that was a citywide thing or not, but I thought that was kind of a nice thing.
Yeah, that was something that I'm pretty proud of the staff at the city who did that. they're reaching it when we had to close facilities and things had to close down. One of the biggest concerns of staff within the city were some of our older adults that use our facilities. Some of them are alone. And so we quickly moved to figure out ways that we could connect with them at least weekly, sometimes more often. And it's just a simple phone call. And I'm sure that some of you on Zoom today can appreciate some of the complications when trying to do video chats. So I know my father-in-law, he struggles with Zoom. And so he much prefers a simple phone call. And so that's what we've been doing with our older adults that use our facilities is simple check-in phone calls and also just to have a good water cooler chat, fireside chat with people just to see things are going well, just to make the connection.
That was Allison Brown's report on the Festival of Neighborhoods, Mosaic of Neighborhoods, held online through a Zoom meeting back on the 16th of November. You can check the show notes on our website, radiowaterloo.ca/ccc, where we'll have links to the Festival of Neighborhoods, information about how you can contact your Festival of Neighborhoods representatives, and maybe some more audiovisual information from the Festival of Neighborhoods celebration this year. Thanks, Allison. Hope you can join us in the studio next time around. You're listening to the Eggnog Shuffle by Michael Falzanaro, who plays with New Riders of the Purple Sage and has been with Hot Tuna for close to 20 years. He's joined by an extended family of ace musicians on this new timeless release of A Kaleidoscope Christmas, a family that plays together, rocks together, especially at Christmas time. Michael Falzanaro wrote all the songs except the traditional jingle bells, which we'll hear later, and produced this CD that captures the spirit of the holidays while staying true to his Americana roots. Thank you. Michael Falzonaro, The Boogie Woogie Christmas. And before that, we heard Eggnog Shuffle, also by Michael Falzonaro. Let's go back to Canadian content. This is Julie Obey with Ça c'est Noël. It signals the comeback for the Acadian artist, who's releasing her first single since the album Joie de Vivre from 2017. This single, which drips with bells and eggnog, offers a kitchen party through your headphones. She describes in her own words the little things that make Christmas precious. She plunges us fully into the nostalgia of the 1990s and wraps her catchy melodies with electric guitar passes a la The Beatles. As always, she draws from her passion of all that is the 1960s in order to create and that can be heard.
C'est Noël, c'est Noël. Attache ta tuque, mets tes mitaines, c'est Noël. J'pense encore à la cassette Mix Noël 97 ou écoutez mon oncle mêler les paroles sans honte. Quand la neige tombe sur mon s'endormir. Quand on n'avait pas beaucoup d'argent, on faisait nos propres décorations. Des Kennedys, du sucre d'os, du fudge, de mur à mur. Ça c'est Noël, c'est Noël.
Remember never burst in. I could have never imagined. He'd say to me that night, behind the rumble of the snowplows on the buried streets of Wyoming.
Christmas Love from the Montreal Quintet, The Deers, led by husband and wife duo Murray Lightburn and Natalia Janchak. Next up, this time last year, a new single by Old Haunt, the project of Montreal singer-songwriter Lucas Huang. In the sad Christmas song tradition, it tells a story of lovers separated during the pandemic. Recorded at home, the song is an intimate and moving portrait of the strange times that we're in.
This time last year I kissed you out on a frozen street. The moonlight was dancing and we were romancing. I felt your warm hand on my cheek. We'd driven all day through snowfall. Your family welcomed me. We wore ugly sweaters and opened bad presents under a plastic tree. With dinner done, we went for an evening wander, and arm in arm of you I grew ever fonder. gathered again next morning by the fireplace, on the TV, on the radio station, Bing Crosby was playing, and it moved your mother to tears. We waved through frosted windows after taking an early leave, with shaking the pens, embraces and plans to return here again, this time next year. I was glad for winter's end, though the season has its charms. But in the end, my favorite gift is wrapped in each other's arms. Spring brought us a tragedy that turned our worlds to dark. Then summer left, now autumn's gone, and still we are apart. I found in the mail this morning a present he sent to me. The latest bestseller, we'll read it together across our two distant cities. I'll reach out tonight and touch you, well, your face on the telephone screen. You'll sing me a carol, and we'll say our farewells, and I'll dry my tears on the sheets. The year rolls on, and the world seems to only turn wronger. Absence long of you, I grow ever fonder. I wake without you beside me, just sunlight caresses my cheek. In the morning stillness, I let myself wish that once more we will kiss, this time next year.
That's Montreal's Lucas Wong, This Time Last Year. You've been listening to CKMS Community Connections for Monday, the 28th of December, 2020, last week of the year. CKMS Community Connections is sponsored by Radio Waterloo. The executive producer is Jennifer Strong. Associate producers are Jeff Steger, Dylan Bravener, and Jordan Dorans. And my name is Bob Jonkman. You can hear CKMS Community Connections on Mondays from 11 till noon, and again, Saturdays from 1 p.m. till 2. Taking us out, this is Michael Falzonaro again. This is Jingle Bells, Jingle Jam. Jingle Bells, Jingle Jam.